Back in the studio, back on the air. This is Radio Entrepreneurs. That's what we do. We talk to entrepreneurs all the time. Our next guest is Todd Crowley, financial specialist at the Bullfinch Group. Welcome.
Thank you. Thanks for having me.
Tell us about your practice at the Bullfinch Group.
Well, we work with a lot of business owners. I'd say about 80% of our clients are business owners. And we come, one of my primary roles is to introduce what our partnership at the Bullfinch Group does. So we might be introduced because the owner of the company is trying to figure out how to put a kid through college, or their three primary business areas. They might be trying to figure out how do we get a better employee benefits program. They don't like their 401k manager, or they've heard that we help with exit planning. So how do we increase the value of the company 5 years before we sell it?
Right.
So those are the three primary areas, and it's very fun.
How'd you get into this type of work?
So I can give you a quick rundown. I was in the private aviation industry before Bullfinch, and we worked with people who owned, you know, $30, $40 million planes. And if you own a plane like that, you have two choices. You can either manage it yourself, which can be difficult,
right,
or you can hire a management company. I worked for the management company. So 2008 rolled around and everybody stopped flying. So that company went out of business. It was the biggest in the world at the time of its kind. We managed 309 planes, billions of dollars worth
of planes. That's a lot of planes.
It's a lot of planes. It's the biggest in the world at the time. NetJets is fractional, so it's a little different. Went out of business in about 7 months. Everyone stopped flying. That's where 85% of the revenue of the company came from. So that was my first. So I said to myself, I have owners of aircraft who need to figure out who to manage them. So that was one of my first entrepreneurial ventures, is I formed a private aviation company to help these owners figure out who should manage their company. Skipping ahead a little bit, how did I get involved with Bullfinch? A friend who owns a fire extinguisher servicing company around New England, he called me up one day and said, I know that I'm not sure what you're doing right now, but I feel like you just need to meet my advisor at Bullfinch. And I said, why? And he said, I don't know what to tell you. I just love these guys. And I thought to myself, it's a little weird to hear someone talk about a financial company.
Right.
And actually say, I love these guys.
And who'd they introduce you to there?
A guy named Richard Bilofsky.
Okay.
Who's phenomenal. He's still there. He's been there for a while. So Richard sat down and he basically showed me the balance sheet system that we use. And I immediately just said to myself, so, and he showed me, you know, a couple of strategies. It's a strategy firm at the end of the day. And he showed me a strategy. And I said to him, so what am I missing here? You guys are basically doing, you're taking the same approach that a family office, who I used to work with, takes for the principal, but you're doing it with regular people. Like, how can you do that? That's what they do. That's what the company does. So I thought this could be a home run. It's an entrepreneurial venture, but it's got a little more stability in the beginning. The negative is that the money in the beginning is low. You trade low revenue in the beginning for a longer term.
For a model.
Yeah. Yeah. But a ton of flexibility.
Right. Because you're running your own business inside their model.
And I'm part of a partnership now so that I can sit there and literally, I don't have to be the tax expert, the business succession expert, what have you. We have all of those folks. My primary role can be going out to business owners and saying, look, here's what we do, and knowing that some aspect of what we do is going to be of interest.
So you have the backroom knowledge base also?
Oh, yeah.
That's accessible to you?
Yeah. And it's great. So I'm then free to sit there and just say to myself, what part of our partnership works for these folks, and know full well that even if we start off just helping the founder figure out how to fund college for his two children, they at some point are going to talk about, wait, you guys manage 401ks, you do employee benefits, you can help figure out how to incent these top, you know, two sales folks that I have so that maybe I can exit and sell it to them 5 years from now. That's kind of a unique offering.
Right.
Because you know our industry. Our industry is very siloed. It's either you're managing money and all you really care about is opening up an account.
Right.
And charging a fee.
Right.
Or it's insurance and all you want to do is sell insurance.
Right.
Or
annuity.
Completely. An annuity, life insurance, whatever it is. So it's a great model.
How's the business changed you?
You know, I will tell you this. The last 12 months, revenue is better than it's been in the first 5 years. So of course, that's good. But you know what the biggest thing is? So at one point in the last decade, I forgot that you need to trust your gut, basically. And so how has it changed me? The last 12 months, the first 5 years, those were pretty hard, you know? But now I've said to myself, I think I've figured out the combination of how is Bullfinch going to fit in with who I am? And so here's now backing up a little bit. When the aviation company went out of business and I formed this small aviation consultancy, I knew that I was going to figure out something different. A friend asked, would I come on as COO of a company that he was founding at that time? He had made millions in this business before. This was in your early 30s. And I knew this from a bunch of different sources. He asked if I would come on as COO of this company that he was now founding. And the reality is, even if 5% of the projected revenue happened, it was an amazing opportunity. So I went with it. 11 months into that business, we literally had to close the business because he had a heart condition. He was 37 mm-hmm. years old. He had a heart condition. We had all of our meetings December of 2011, it was, in the cardiac intensive care unit of Johns Hopkins. So we closed that. Around that time, my wife and I were talking. And this was when we were living in Maryland. And she said, hey, do you know those tweezers that we got in Spain? Remember with those tweezers we got in Spain? I said, yeah. I used to live in Spain for two years back in 97, 98. That was actually my first entrepreneurial venture. She said, you know those tweezers? Where are those tweezers? I can't find them. The best tweezers ever. And I said, you know, I don't know. Those are the best tweezers ever. Where did they go? What a bummer that we lost these
Chris
tweezers.
Took them.
Chris might have taken them. You're going to like this. It wasn't Will because he wasn't born. He had an excuse because he was only one at the time or thereabouts. So I thought, you know, if she likes these tweezers so much and I do too and we can't find them, I'm going to do a little market research and I'm going to see what the tweezer market looks like. And I was between ventures.
I love how the two kids spoke up.
So I hunted around. I had some friends in Spain find every tweezer they could at the pharmacies over there and send me. I had dozens of tweezers showing up.
I'm going to look up Spanish tweezers.
Wait, you'll enjoy this. So all of these come over and I can't find the tweezers that we loved so much. Okay? So, but I did find a pair that I thought to myself, these are easily as good as Tweezer Man,
Revlon. Were they from Spain?
Yep, also? They're from Spain. Look it up. The company's name is Better, B-E-T-E-R. They're big in Spain. So long story short is this. I started importing those tweezers because I thought these easily compete with Tweezerman, no problem at all. The quality is easily as good. So I started importing them and I would literally, you know, the profit margins were phenomenal. But I said to myself, they're not the perfect tweezers. They're not the ones that we lost. And I couldn't find them anywhere.
Well, it's in Spanish. I can't read it.
I grew up in Quebec. Whatever you want.
Right. I grew up in Quebec.
So,
a lot of nail polish.
So I thought to myself, at some point, now's not the right time, but at some point, I'm going to create a prototype of this tweezer. I know exactly what about it made it the best. And I guarantee you this, anyone who's listening to this right now, or any of you guys, if you use tweezers, you know that when they don't work really well, it's
They're
pretty
terrible.
Annoying. It's pretty darn annoying.
It is annoying.
You break the hair. You're thinking about it all the time. It's a total pain in the rear. And that's what I found when you Googled tweezer. Would you believe that there are Facebook pages dedicated to tweezers?
No, you're just setting me up for stupid jokes, and I'm trying not to say them. I'm trying to behave.
So how does, you know, how does this relate back to...
I say tweezers in Spanish.
Pinchos.
Okay.
All right. Pinchos. So how does this relate? How does this relate back to Bullfinch? How has this changed me? I know.
Well, I was wondering how far afield you'd go.
No, how does this relate back? What, you know, how has it changed me? Your question is, how has it changed me is this. I'm now at a position, you know, every business goes through stages. I'm now at a stage of stability. And I've always said to myself, one of these days, I'm going to create either a prototype of this tweezer or I'm going to license it to one of the bigger companies.
Right.
And I am now at the stage where we have enough stability so that I can put, you know, in the next 12 months, I can put a little time and some resources towards having a prototype for these tweezers made. And so how has it changed me? One of the beauties of Bullfinch.
You're like our friend who comes on the show who does tick removal.
Oh, really?
Well, that's like a tweezer.
Yeah. I mean, it's a use. It's
actually a very high-end tweezer.
Yeah.
Right. Oh, he, Tick
some
Man.
Some of them. Is that what it's called? Tick Man?
He's our tick king. We love him.
That's great. But so how has it changed me? You know, it's opened up a lot of opportunities, a lot of flexibility.
Well, you know, I didn't think this story was going to go exactly where it went, but you know, you never know when minds start wandering and you have kids in the studio, what's going to happen. Todd, if somebody wants to find you at the Bullfinch Group for financial consulting, not for tweezers, mm-hmm. how would they do that?
Sure. They can go right on the website. I'm sitting right there as one of the team members. They can just Google Todd Crowley, Bullfinch Group, and I'll come right up.
That's great. And congratulations on the new Worcester Red Sox stadium, because that's the Crowleys who are sponsoring it, right?
Long ago, we were related.
Long
Tragically,
ago.
Not,
they got
not
rid of
very
you.
Closely.
That, they,
at
they
some
got
point,
rid of
the
you.
Tribe kicked me out.
I'm looking forward to the Paw Sox moving to Worcester. I think that's a great move.
Oh, yeah, I think that'll be great.
We've been speaking with Todd Crowley, financial specialist at the Bullfinch Group. My name is Jeffrey Davis. I'm from Mage and also host of Radio Entrepreneurs. We're going to take a break, and we'll be right back after these messages.